Hello and welcome to the Money Control Real Estate Show, where we provide actionable advice from real estate experts, developers, and first-time home buyers every week. I'm your host, Vandana Ramlani. Today, we have Anurag Mathur, CEO, Savills India, to make our listeners understand how the commercial real estate market is expected to pan out after the third wave of COVID-19, and what will it be like for employees to return to work? Will they return to conventional workspaces or flexible workstations? Hi, Anurag. Welcome to the Money Control Real Estate Show.
Thank you, Vandana.
So, Anurag, a rebound in India's commercial real estate market has been disrupted by the Omicron variant. Has it taken a toll on home buying as well as commercial space take-up?
I don't think as such there isn't any empirical evidence to suggest that there is a retraction or a major impact of this third wave on the real estate market. Mm-hmm. On the commercial side, you may say that there may be delayed decisions because people were affected by the pandemic. There were a lot of people who were themselves had to be isolated and so on. And therefore, the process has been delayed. But like I said, there isn't any data points to say that people have canceled or have stopped or discontinued their plans to take commercial real estate. And I think the same applies to the residential side as well. I don't think there is any change in that. Mm-hmm. The buoyancy that we have seen in the residential markets over the last 1.5-2 years, mm-hmm. I think that continues. There is significant interest supported by various measures. So I don't think there is any lack of interest or change in the sentiment or on-ground realities.
Okay. And has the impact been any different from the first and the second wave? Because if I recollect, many cities had witnessed a drop in commercial leasing. I mean, as much as around 30% reduction in rents for both residential and commercial after the first wave. Now, did we witness a similar thing happening after, actually during the third wave?
Obviously, the impact was the highest in 2020 around the first wave or the beginning of the restrictions when right. It happened. So, for example, in 2020, the office space absorption in India was at 31.9 million square feet, registering a decline of 43% year on year.
I see.
New supply also, mm-hmm. also dropped. Mm-hmm. It improved, the absorption improved to in 2021 to about 36.9 million square feet. So there's an increase of about right. modest increase of 15.5%. But there was an increase. So okay. New supply also increased over previous years. So obviously the first wave and the second wave have had have different meanings to commercial real estate.
Was demand for housing pushed back due to restrictions on mobility, especially in some cities like Mumbai or Bangalore? And when is it expected to touch the pre-pandemic levels?
So, look, the residential market has, since the onset of the pandemic or thereabouts, has done well. Mm-hmm. It has been a significant uptick in the sales of residential units, and that's primarily backed by 3-4 reasons. Mm-hmm. And once we were out of the initial lockdown and the restrictions, etc., that happened around March, April, May of 2020, once we got past that, and the country showed and the economy showed significant resilience, I think that's when the tide started to turn.
Okay.
There were several things at play. Number one was, of course, our residential sector, which had been ailing for several years, more than perhaps 2 decades, had been going through a cleanse through the RERA actions and several other measures led by banks and local bodies and courts and so on. Mm-hmm. So as a result, at that point, we had a fairly streamlined and a much healthier residential sector.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we had a significant ready inventory of residential units, which could quickly be transacted.
Right.
If you go into data, and we have a lot of data to share, we publish research quite regularly, you will see that a lot of residential sales that have happened is in the ready inventory.
Okay.
It's not as in the forward sales or under construction property.
True.
So that was the second point, that there was, since there was a significant amount of inventory, it could be sold. Basically, you buy what you see. You can touch and feel and buy in what's in front of you. So that was another point that helped.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, was the low interest regime and the affordability. So at an overall level, I say the affordability of residential units has been outstanding in the last 2 years.
Okay.
We have had a situation where capital values have not changed for residential units, so there hasn't been any increase in prices for the last several years. Now, on an inflation-adjusted basis, that is actually decreased in pricing.
Right.
So those prices were on a very attractive point. There was a historic low in our interest rates, so mortgages were really cheap and affordable. And third, of course, last point was that some of the state governments had reduced stamp duty, and Maharashtra, in fact, has continued. It ends 31st of March this year. So all these factors put together, it's been a very nice situation for the residential sector.
Mm-hmm.
And do remember that we are a genuine economy, which is where home ownership is still very, very low.
Right.
So people, a vast majority of people who are buying are actually end users. A very large number of those, I do not have that data point, but a very large number of those people would be first-time homeowners. So we have had all these points and all these factors which were the sort of the wind in the sails of the residential unit. On the other side, you had a very large population which needed to buy those units, and they did buy. So I think it's been going well. Coming to your point, it's a longish answer that I've given you. Coming to the point of third wave,
yeah.
Again, I don't think any of these points have changed. So there is no reason to believe that there would be any change in the velocity or the volumes of sales. Temporary setbacks are natural, but even then, there has been a lot of technology play now in the way real estate is sold or consumed, and therefore there would be minimal impact. If at all, it would be a minor delay timing impact that I can foresee.
Okay, so it'll be a blip, is what you're saying.
Minor, yes.
Okay. And coming to commercial real estate, did we witness cancellation of leasing commitments or renewals following the third wave?
No, we haven't witnessed anything like that. I think organizations have stayed committed.
Mm-hmm.
There have been cancellations on renewals. So remember, renewal of leases is an important aspect, and it signifies the health of the market, and we have had no cancellations in the renewal process. So renewals have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the overall leasing volumes have dropped
okay.
because of the pandemic period. If you compare it to 2019,
mm-hmm.
But the volumes are now creeping back. The renewals are happening,
mm-hmm.
But very obviously, because of the third wave, things have been delayed. Truth be told, there are instances where a lease had to be signed,
mm-hmm.
but everyone involved was down with COVID or had to be isolated and so on. And therefore, those leases could not be signed.
Okay.
Now, that's a delay. There's mm-hmm. all intention of the organization that wants to avail that space. They have their intention intact. The organization that wants to give the lease out that space, its intention is intact, but there are been challenges relating to actual doing those. But that's about it. As you said earlier, a temporary blip, but there is no evidence of cancellations or lack of renewals.
At this point. Sure. And Anurag, what can employees expect when they return to work after the third wave? Will it be work as usual, as was the case before the pandemic, or will companies focus on, you know, the work from anywhere model? Will employees' office spaces get bigger and wider, as was being envisaged after the first wave? So how are things going to be different when employees return to work?
Right. Now, Vanda, that's a very interesting question, and it's a fairly wide question that you asked me, and I'll try and answer that in segments, and I hope I can comprehensively answer that. When people get back to offices, clearly it's not going to be the same as what was earlier, not for foreseeable future.
Okay.
We had a trend already in place, which was bringing in more employee centricity in offices. Mm-hmm. And more usage of technology into our offices, health coming into our offices, and so on. I think this pandemic has accelerated all those trends by a significant speed factor. So we will now see offices fairly transformed when people start to go back to offices. Okay. Now, how they change and what changes depends on each and every organization. But broadly, it's not going to be the same. So what will change?
Right.
Clearly, you will not have a situation, again, I don't want to be very profound about it, but it's unlikely that we will have the situation of all hands on the deck anymore.
Okay.
And if you employ 100 people, then you will have 100 desks and all 100 people are expected to be in the office at the same time. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
We will have more agility in our workspaces, which means people can work from anywhere. And when I say anywhere, that can mean many things. Mm-hmm. It could be hoteling options. When I mean hoteling, it means flexible spaces and in various forms and shapes and sizes. It could be working from home and so on and so forth. So that agile offices, that flexible offices, they are here to stay. And technology is today well advanced and well entrenched to allow that to happen. Secondly, I think the health quotient in offices, in built environment, is going to come at the forefront.
Okay.
Which is to say that how offices deal with the occupants' health and well-being is going to play an increasing role.
Okay.
That means, of course, like you said, close proximity. How close are people sitting or occupying these spaces? So that means de-densification offices. Mm-hmm. We had seen a trend, if I dial back 15, 20 years ago, we used to have a very broad metrics to say 125 square feet per person of leasable space.
Right.
That had over those years dropped down to about 80 square feet per person.
Right.
I suspect that with the de-densification process, that number will creep up. Whether it goes to 100, whether it goes to 110, whether it goes to 90, I do not know at this point. I can't foretell. But clearly, it will go up. So, which means offices will be more spaced out and less dense as such.
Okay.
The other point will be, of course, occupational health. So, which means the quality of indoor air, sunlight. These things are going to play a very important role. What are the usage of chemicals and disinfectants and surfaces and all those things are now going to play an important role. Look, we have been, in a sense, baptized by fire. So those things will play an increasing amount of role in the new offices when we come back. You also touched upon the point of whether will we see dispersed offices. There are various models and they will all depend on organization, their business, their how how people behave. Every organization will have to find its own rhythm and what works for them the best. There is no one cookie cutter solution. Mm-hmm. So it could be hub and spoke. It could be multiple hubs in and those kind of flexi offices, etc. All of those things will come to
come there. Thanks, Anurag. And with that, we wrap up this episode of the Money Control Real Estate Show. I'm sure our listeners would have gained valuable insights on the commercial real estate market from Anurag. For more tips and tricks on how to invest in real estate, tune into the Money Control Real Estate Show next week. Bye.